First of all, welcome here to Jerusalem, Al-Quds. We welcome you. We welcome our Turkish friends and our Muslim friends. Are here. I myself am Israeli. I have been a rabbi here for many years here in Jerusalem. In a community here. I come originally from Scandinavia, chief rabbi of Norway, but I've been here in Jerusalem for many years. I've also been in public office in the Israeli parliament, in the Knesset, in the government as a cabinet minister. And what we're doing here, amongst other things, but first and foremost, is that we're working for peace. But we're working for peace with a different attitude than what everybody else has been doing. I have been involved in the peace process from the very beginning, from before Oslo, the Oslo process. And what I saw was that the process was a process which was a secular process, which not only was led by secular people, but which had a philosophy that peace has to be together with secularism, with making the Middle East non-religious. And therefore many religious people felt that they had to choose between their identity, religion. It could be either Judaism or Islam or Christianity, but the Christians here were not the main problem. Judaism on the Israeli side or Islam on the Palestinian side. And they were to choose between their identity and peace. And therefore, they chose their identity. They said, we do not want to give up who we are, what we believe in, our tradition, the tradition of our parents, in order to have a peace which doesn't look so peaceful also. And I saw that there was one attempt after the other, the Oslo attempt, the Camp David, the peace, the roadmap, Condoleezza Rice, Annapolis, and so on. And I was involved in a lot of these attempts. And I saw that both on the Israeli side and on the Palestinian side, these attempts could not succeed because the peace tent was too narrow, was too small. So I created, together with some Jewish friends, and together with my Muslim friends, we created the Religious Peace Track, the Religious Peace Initiative for Peace in the Middle East. I had a great partner, Sheikh Abdallah Nimr Darwish, blessed be his memory, who passed away a few months ago. He created the Islamic movement in the Holy Land. He created the Islamic Jihad. And he was in prison for terrorism. He wasn't a peacenik. But he went into the depth of Islam. He didn't compromise one word of Islam, of the Quran, of the Hadith. He went into depth of Islam and he renounced terrorism and he said, I want to work for peace between Palestine and Israel. This is the future for the two peoples here. And we worked hand in hand. In the beginning, we were very few. But in the meantime, more and more people are joining the Religious Peace Track. We have centers all over Palestine and all over Israel. And we have partners all over the Arab Muslim world, also in Turkey and in Iraq and in Syria and in Jordan and in Egypt and in Morocco and in Tunisia and so on. And more people are joining, also people from the more radical movements, people from Hamas, people from Muslim Brotherhood, many people from the radical movements who say, if this is a religious peace, if this, not to exclude anybody from the Tent of Peace, but if we open the Tent of Peace and make a religious peace track which comes not out of interests, but out of the deep belief that we are here, this is the will of Allah, this is the will of God, that we are here, both peoples, we're going to be here in all future. And therefore, we need to find a way where we don't destroy and destruct the will of God by killing the image of God in the other. And therefore, we have to find a model where Jerusalem, Al-Quds, where we are now, becomes the gate to heaven and not a hell here on earth. What will be in the coming world if we go to heaven or we go to hell? That is in the hands and the decision of Allah. But what will be here on earth, it is also, God expects this from us, that we create something good together for His creatures. And if we can build here something together, Jews and Muslims and our Christian friends together, and we are building that here, in this coalition, if we can build something which can save lives, which can give hope and future for the peoples here in the Holy Land and around us, if we can do that, then this will be a message of sanctifying the holy name of God in the eyes of the whole world. Not only the top leaders, the extreme leaders also, but also we have young leaders who are working together. Hundreds of young leaders today are part today of our coalition. It's expanding every day. We're also involved in the processes, mostly now of extinguishing fires, to take care that people are not getting killed, and the both parties are using us. Also the politicians are using us. As long as they're using us for good, then we're willing to be used. But we want more than that. We want to path away, not instead of the politicians. In the end, the politicians have to make political agreements. But we want to create a legitimization which was not there during the processes in the 90s and the 2000s and all the meetings, to create a legitimization, a different atmosphere, so that both peoples will restore the belief that peace is possible and that the religions, that Judaism and Islam, want to live in peace with each other, that this is the ideal, that this is what God expects from us, that we become junior partners to the will of God. We are humble, we know that a lot of things beyond us. But this is what we're ordered to do, and that we will be His servants, not by crushing other people and taking away their hopes, but by serving Him. We know that all the land belongs to God. We're temporary residents here on this earth. But when we're temporary residents here, at least let's behave in a way which respects the will of God, and not which crushes His will. Well, the problem is that if you ask people what do their religion preach, they will all say the religion preaches peace and tranquility and mercy and compassion and so on. But when it comes down then to the reality, we don't really see the other side. And we believe that we have, that, you know, I say sometimes in a joke, that we believe that if God had all the facts, He would be on our side. You know, it's not something we joke with, but people put themselves, they put God aside, and they put themselves instead of God. They don't see the other. We don't meet each other. We only see each other as the big enemy. We don't have a chance. This is one of the tragedies which has happened here over the last 30 years. We don't see the other as a human being, as a fellow believer. We don't know each other anymore. We just know the bad things about the other. So what we're doing is that first we work inside every religion. And then we put together the big, most influential leaders from both sides. And when they see each other in the eye and they see the sincerity of the other side, then they can't say, well, you have no right to be here. You should be thrown out. You should be killed. They can't say that because they see that the others are just as religiously observant and traditional and want to serve God just as they want. And then they have to say, well, then we have to find solutions, how we can work it out together. And then the process starts. But as long as we can say, well, all of Islam hate us, they want us out, then we have to survive. And when we have to survive, all means can work. But when we suddenly see the most extreme leaders of Islam who say, we want to live together with you in Israel, we want to find a solution which gives us respect and freedom, but which also respects you and your security, then suddenly also the rabbis want to be a part of this. And in this way we can solve all the difficult issues on the table. We can talk about what's happening on Chalm Sharif, we can talk about what's happening in Jerusalem, we can talk about what is happening also in difficult humanitarian issues. Everything is on the table and we can suddenly help each other instead of fighting each other. But when we just talk about each other, you know, in a religious dialogue, which is just a dialogue, and it doesn't talk about the elephant in the room and the real conflict, we talk about the real conflict. We don't just have a religious dialogue when we talk about abstract values. We talk about the values which have to be translated into solutions for our people who are hurting and bleeding and suffering. Well, I think that Islam is a great religion in our world. It has so much, it does so much good and so much influence over so many people. And in the Jewish tradition, it is considered to be a great step towards the belief in one and the same God. And therefore, I believe that when we work together, there is no limit to how much good this can do for the future. And I've seen this in an example we did here in this office you're standing. We had 2 years ago, Eid al-Adha and Yom Kippur, the holiest day in the Jewish calendar, and Eid al-Adha was on the same day. And we had great warnings about bloodshed which would be on that day. Because we celebrate very opposite. The Jews fast on that day and go in, and the Muslims celebrate outwards. They visit each other, they eat the lamb and celebrate outwards. So it's opposite celebrations, and it was the beginning of a lot of violence here, and we had warnings. And I went then to the leaders of the Waqf here in Jerusalem, and I said, you want violence on this day? They said, no, absolutely not. So they wrote a fatwa saying that all the Muslims should have a little less celebration and should respect the Jewish holiday of Yom Kippur. And this was read in all the mosques here. And the rabbis then answered and said, we should respect the Eid al-Adha. And in this way, they made a message that the Muslims celebrating are not doing this in order to hurt our feelings of Yom Kippur, but because they are serving the Muslim holiday. And we love that. And I went into the content of Eid al-Adha. What is the content? It is the same idea which appears in the Torah and in the Quran, that God, Allah, says to Abraham, he says, I do not want the sacrifice of your son. I do not want people to be sacrificed in my name. Instead, you take an animal to sacrifice. But I don't want human sacrifice in my name. I want your obedience, yes. I don't want the sacrifice. This is what all Muslims are celebrating in Eid al-Adha. And this is what the Jews also read on the great holidays of which we're reading, and we remember the whole day on Yom Kippur. So I'm saying, if we don't want sacrifice, if we don't want bloodshed, why are we then doing bloodshed? So this message went out. We made also a YouTube, which was watched here in Jerusalem, in Arabic and in Hebrew, was watched by 260,000 people in Jerusalem the 2 days before Eid al-Adha and Yom Kippur. And in spite of all the warnings, there was not one person killed, not one person injured, not one stone thrown. And the head of the police called me. He said, if you can do this on all the days of Eid al-Adha and Yom Kippur, why can't you do it the whole year? I said, we can. We can. If we go together, Islam, the message of Islam, the message of the Quran, together with the message of Judaism, we can be on the front of making peace in the Middle East and all over the world. And this is the message of our coalition for peace in the Middle East. Thank you.